diameter height. All you can get is 6 centimeters diameter underwater. If water surpasses 10 centimeters, water that can go into 10 centimeters height diameter, it will burst the 6 diameter. So enlarge.
Glory, 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 glory. My. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Would you kindly just lift up those holy hands tonight? Let's appreciate the Lord one more time. We cannot thank Him enough for His great mercy over our lives. Had it not been for the loving kindness and tender mercies of the Lord, we all would have been consumed. Would have been like a proverb and a byword in the land, but His mercies have kept us, have guided us. Particularly tonight, let's thank the Lord for His tender, tender mercies upon the Glory Zone Nation. An embassy of heaven and the angels set over this work, Dr. Karis, I'm a wealth, and Pastor Peniel, I'm a wealth. All the leaders, all the pastors, all the ministers, all the workers, the leaders, the volunteers, within the sound of my voice, on-site, online, all over the nations of the world. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we thank You. Thank You for 10 years of mercy. Permit me tonight, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the battles that You have fought and won for us that we're not even aware of. Thank You for the amazing grace of God that has moved this church from year to year to year and made such amazing impact all across the globe. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we honor You. We're here today to say thank You again. And I personally join your son, your servant, his wife, and all the parishioners of this church and their leaders and say thank You for Your amazing hand over this work, over your son and servant. Thank You because every time he has come to declare Your word, the anointing has been fresh. Thank You for streams of revelation. Thank You for inspiration. Thank You for the supply of the Spirit. Thank You for the walk of faith. Many times when we have not known what way to go, You have always made a way where there was no way. Thank You for preservation of his life and the life of all that are under his apostleship. Lord, we thank You. Today we say thank You. Blessed be Your holy name. Oh, my. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I celebrate the God of Glory Zone Nation. I celebrate the God of Embassy of Heaven. And I celebrate the God of Dr. Karis, I'm a wealth. Pastor Peniel, I'm a wealth on this great church. From the depth of our heart, man of God, we love you. I know you know. You are deep down in our hearts. You and your precious wife, Pastor Peniel, we love you. We honor you. We celebrate the grace of God upon your life. We brag about you everywhere. Everywhere. Praise the name of the Lord. And we're inspired by what God is doing here. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will preserve you. He will preserve you. I woke up this morning and I don't really, you know, that happens from time to time. But usually, of course, you know, you can dream when you eat too much food. But this was a prophetic dream, and I saw in my dream early this morning, Psalm 121. And I saw a colon, I saw 777. And I knew what that meant. You know, if you don't know what it means, just throw it away. And I turned to it, I knew what Psalm 121 was, a psalm of preservation. And I knew what he meant, but that's 777. I knew what he meant. Psalms 121 verse 7. So I went there and said, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. And I believe in part is a word for you. The Lord will preserve you, the angel over this church, your precious wife, and the entire apostolic network from all evil. Perfect preservation, perfect protection, and abundant and perfect provision. You are an eagle and you will soar. You will soar. You will soar unhindered. You will not trip and fall. You will not stumble. The Lord enlarges your feet under you. None of your steps shall slide. You will ascend to the highest heights without inhibition in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. On behalf of my family, my wife, of course she's here, Pastor Elizabeth, and our family, the entire Covenant World Christian Center International family, we love you, we honor you, we celebrate you. Thank you for trusting us too. Thank you for trusting us. Praise the name of the Lord. We love you and we celebrate the hand of God upon you, your wife, and this great church. Let's appreciate our God and let's appreciate Dr. Karis Amewell and his precious wife, Pastor Penny Amewell. Let's appreciate all the pastors, all the leaders. Let's appreciate them in the name of Jesus. Please be seated. Please be seated. Thank you for giving me the honor of sharing God's word tonight. We have appreciated, you have appreciated a lot of the men of God here. I just want to just crave your indulgence. This is not really my place. I'm not going to do too much, but I just like to honor and appreciate all the servants of God that are here. And permit me, Dr. Karis, to celebrate tonight General Tunde Phillips. Praise the name of the Lord. And his precious, precious wife. Thank you so much, sir. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for all that you're doing in the body of Christ. Thank you for what you're doing in the nation. Thank you for what you represent. We love you. We appreciate your partnership. And Reverend Mrs. Tunde Phillips, we appreciate you too. Thank you so much. I'm so excited seeing you here today. You entered my house and you blessed me. I was saying that Pastor Elizabeth, I said, I'm going to tell her that Phillips entered our house today. And she'll say, oh my goodness. I also want to appreciate and celebrate my dear friend and brother also, Pastor Benson Ogbe. Let's appreciate him tonight as well. And I appreciate Pastor Anointed and his precious wife. Oh, hallelujah. I know you still love me, even though you didn't come with your wife for days of glory, but I know you still love me. Hallelujah. I appreciate Apostle Luca. Praise the name of the Lord. I appreciate Pastor Osai Agatise. Is he here? No, he's not here. Okay, sorry. I beg your pardon. I appreciate also Pastor Victor David. Praise the name of the Lord. And all the other ministers of the gospel, permit me, please, forgive me for not mentioning your names particularly, but we celebrate you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate everybody here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Karis, for indulging me there. Tonight, I'm going to share a few thoughts. Our theme is the God of our covenant. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And tonight, I simply want to share a thought entitled, Walking in the Footsteps of Abraham. Walking in the Footsteps of Abraham. I was actually a bit conflicted because something in my heart wanted to name it Keys to Unstoppable Progress. But I think I'll just leave it at Walking in the Footsteps of Abraham. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah the 51st chapter, please. We'll read the first three verses. Isaiah the 51st chapter. Isaiah 51 verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. I'm reading from the New King James Version. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from whence you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. Zion is the type of the church. Hallelujah. You're here, you're Jesus, Lord and Savior of your life. You are part of Zion. And the Lord said, the Lord will comfort Zion. Amen. So tonight I declare that the Lord will yet comfort you. Amen. You have known his comfort in the past, but he will yet comfort you. He has a plan to comfort you, to settle you. Amen. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden. He'll make her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So here the scriptures tell us that we should look to Abraham, our father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to us. It's prophetic language. Thank you, Lord. It's prophetic language. When you talk about the God of covenant, you must consider Abraham. Abraham, the central or key human figure that God used to typify our covenant, the covenant we have with God. Hallelujah. The old covenant was between God and Abraham. And by implication, it was between God and Abraham's seed. If you look at Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 17, for want of time, we can't go into all of that, but you see that these are covenant contacts that Almighty God had with Abraham. And the old covenant was between Abraham and his seed. The seed of Abraham in the flesh is the nation of Israel. Now, people of God, God still has a plan for the nation of Israel in the flesh. The church has not replaced Israel. But the Bible does tell us in Romans chapter 3, I believe the last two verses, that the church is Abraham's seed in the spirit. We are Jews not after an outward circumcision, the Bible says, which is in the flesh, but we are Jews after a circumcision which is inwardly in the spirit. And the Bible says our praise is of God, not of men. So God has a covenant family in the physical, the spiritual, the nation, physical Jews who are Jews by biological descent and biological DNA. And God has a spiritual nation, which is the church. And these two are not at variance. They're not in contradiction. They're not fighting each other. God has a plan for each one. Hallelujah. But in the old covenant, Abraham is the seed, or Abraham is the one and his seed, the Israelites in the natural realm that God made covenant with. Hallelujah. But in the New Testament, God made covenant with Christ. Hallelujah. Thy throne, O God, is forever. Psalm 110 says, scepter of thy kingdom. Let me just read that from Psalm 110, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 110, verse 1 says, a psalm of David, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of thine enemies. And thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. So the psalm opens by God, the Lord, the Father God, talking to Jesus and said unto him, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So that was God and Jesus in conversation. The verse 2 said, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of thine enemies. And he told us what the rod of his strength is. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So here we see God the Father talking to Jesus and talking to Jesus about the church. Hallelujah. The church is the rod of God's strength. I know the rod is what God uses to rule and what kings use to rule and reign. So it is you and I that God is using to rule and reign in these days. We are the rod of God's strength. We are the ones that are going to execute God's will and plan and purpose upon the earth. So my point here is that in the old new covenant, God made covenant with Jesus. Hallelujah. But Galatians 3:29 said, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. And you are heirs according to the same promise. That means that when God was talking to Jesus and making covenant with Jesus, he was making covenant with us in Christ. Are you here, somebody? So when we say the God of our covenant, we're talking about the covenant, this new covenant. God made it with Christ Jesus, but we are in Christ. Are you here, somebody? So we can directly say that God made that covenant with us. I said God made that covenant with us. Because when he talked to Jesus, he talked to us. You cannot talk about the head without talking about the body. And we are the body of Christ. So when God was addressing Jesus, he was addressing the church. Are you here, somebody? So we are connected to this covenant. When we make Jesus our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And we know that every covenant is made in blood. I'm not exhaustively teaching on covenant tonight, but every covenant is made in blood. The word covenant actually means a cut where blood flows. And in every covenant, there's a swearing. That blood is a type of life. Wherever life is, or the blood is, life is. So anybody that enters covenant is saying that I'm obligating myself to certain things. I'm making commitments and I'm going to back it up by my life. In other words, for this covenant to fail, I must die. And we all know that God is not dying anytime soon. You hear somebody? So every word that has been spoken in this new covenant has been established in the blood of Christ. And Almighty God has established it in the life of Christ. God's hand has been open to you because of the shed blood of Jesus, and it will never be shut. The backing force behind anything that God tells you is the very life of Christ. So God himself is committed to you because of the death of his son. And when you receive Jesus, that blood covenant goes into operation. Are you here, somebody? So God so honored Abraham in the Old Testament. The Old Testament calls Abraham the father of, Abraham is called the father of faith. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, when saints died, they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. God so honored Abraham. In the Old Covenant, when men died, they went to the upper regions of hell, Hades. Upper regions of Hades was called paradise before Jesus died. And that was where people who were in covenant with God, when they died, they went. Of course, after Jesus came, hell, the arrangement changed. Jesus went and depopulated that place, and Jesus opened the door for men to actually enter the presence of God and live in heaven right now. But I'm trying to say that God so honored Abraham by calling paradise Abraham's bosom. Are you here, somebody? I tell you the truth, I'm not surprised, because I will not be surprised if the first person you see when you leave this earth, after should the Lord tarry, after you finish your assignment and you live full of days, is Abraham himself. Because Abraham is the type. God so honored him to make him the type of our covenant. The Bible said, if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and you have full rights to every inheritance that God made to Abraham and his seed. Praise the name of the Lord. So we the church, and we are Abraham's seed in the spirit. Hallelujah. Now, if we want to see the same results in our life manifested as we saw in the life of Abraham, we must learn to do Abraham's works. We talk about the blessing of Abraham. We know that that blessing is an empowerment, okay? The blessing is not a physical thing. The blessing is an empowerment that manifests physical things. All right, that's why when men are blessed, you know, they're in a safe place, because you can't strip men of that blessing. I mean, Joseph's brothers took his coat, but they could not take his manifested blessing. They thought that coat of many colors, how it was the blessing. But it was proven not to be, because even after they took that coat, the blessing kept promoting Joseph. So that blessing is a spiritual empowerment. Are you here, somebody? Now look at this. Look at what happened in the life of Abraham. Our case study today is Abraham. Isaiah 51 said, look to Abraham, your father. He's the blessed one. And we are blessed in him through Christ. And to Sarah, that's what bore you. He said, this is the rock from which you are cut. Oh, dear Lord. My brother, my sister, it does not matter where you were born. The highest of the high or the lowest of the low. When you come into Christ, is the great equalizer. Is the great equalizer. Now you are in Christ, there's a level playing field. Now you are in Christ, you only have one genealogy. That is Christ Jesus. Now we appreciate, God has a plan for where we are born. Even if you're listening to me and you don't know your biological parents, or you know them and you're not too proud of them because maybe they're not serving the Lord or whatever it is. But let me tell you something. When you come into Christ, everything changes. The spirit inside of you changes. And the spirit inside of you takes a royal route. And you're going to win in this life. You have got to start looking at yourself from the lens of who you are in Christ Jesus. You have a royal route. You have to start looking at it like that. Are you here, somebody? Your DNA is a DNA that has come from the lineage of Christ, and you are Abraham's seed. Now, that is the mentality that you're going to use to face the world. So you want to see these things, say, look to Abraham, see and observe how the anointing, how that blessing promoted him. Listen, Abraham was as common as everybody else. But let me tell you, when God chooses you, your days of commonality are over. Oh, when God puts his hand upon you, your days of commonality are over. Are you here, somebody? We're celebrating today a ministry that came forth from a hand of God, a man whom God put his hand upon. Let me tell you something. Many times we celebrate the faithfulness of God, and it is right. We ought to do that. But can I tell you something? The faithfulness of God must also connect with the faithfulness of men. If men are not faithful, the faithful God cannot manifest himself. So tonight we celebrate a faithful God. And we celebrate the faithfulness of a faithful man, Dr. Caris Ame Wealth. The grace of God, yes, but he had to yield and become faithful to God. So my point tonight is this. Observe Abraham, and that's what we're going to do in a little while. I'm not going to take too much of your time. We're just going to look at a few things. Look at Abraham and observe how that blessing flowed in his life. Friends, what made Abraham great was not his name, Abraham. What made him great was the blessing that he came into contact with because of his covenant with God. So I'm telling you tonight that when you understand this covenant root, understand that what makes men great is not where they're coming from, not their natural genealogy, their natural lineage. What makes men great is not any other thing but that covenant connection with God. What is the fruit of that covenant is called the blessing. The blessing is an empowerment. The blessing of the Lord. Eat, definite article, maketh rich and added no sorrow with it. That means you're supposed to be laboring with the blessing. When you work without the blessing, it's called toil. When you work with the blessing, it's called labor. You're supposed to be laboring, not toiling. You're supposed to have the consciousness of the blessing. The blessing is God with you. God's part in your labor. So let's look at this. You observe Abraham's blessing. We talk about the manifested blessings, what he did in Abraham's life. But I'm here to tell you that if you are Abraham's seed, the blessing will do in your life what it did in Abraham's life. Expect nothing less. Are you here, somebody? So let's look at this a little bit. What are the outstanding traits or characteristics in Abraham's life? This is in no particular order, but I just want to mention some of them. What are the outstanding things? What are the ways that Abraham positioned himself, some of them, for this manifested blessing to show up in his life? Permit me to mention at this point that when you're talking about the blessing, when you're talking about God's spiritual things, they transcend any generation. They transcend any generation. Now, I believe with the whole of my heart that the gospel must be generation-centric. We must preach in a way that can appeal to every generation. But let me tell you the truth. It is still the ancient technologies of God that are going to put you across in this life. I know you have a pastor who is sane and he teaches that. Praise the name of the Lord. So we employ a lot of things that are generation-centric based on our call. But we must understand that the things that put men ahead in this life are still ancient things. Are you here, somebody?
Yes.
So across generations, we must understand that God has ancient patterns, ancient resources that he gives to every generation to put them ahead. So what are some of the outstanding traits or characteristics in Abraham's life? First and foremost, we see in Abraham uncommon obedience. Are you here, somebody? I mean, Genesis chapter 12, you see that in verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 is a narrative. It's actually a narrative of an event that already happened. Now, God had told Abraham, leave your country, leave your kindred. It said, now God had told Abraham. That means that Genesis chapter 12 is a narrative of what had already happened, a conversation, an encounter that had already taken place. So God had told Abraham, leave your country, leave your kindred and all of that to a place where I will show you. Hallelujah. And the Bible said in verse 4a, and Abraham departed. Oh, dear Lord. The first thing that will take you into the place and places that God has for you is uncommon obedience. Praise the name of the Lord. Your future is in your obedience to God. Your future is in your obedience to God. Your security is in your obedience to God. The Bible says in John chapter 2, verse 5, at that great, the first time that Jesus manifested his glory and manifested his miracles at the wedding of Cana, Jesus' mother told those servants in the at the wedding, whatsoever he tells you, do it. So we see uncommon obedience in Abraham's life. Hallelujah. My brother, my sister, you have got to be willing to navigate what we call uncharted waters. You've got to be willing to go to places where men, some have not possibly gone before. Why? Because God told you. Don't go on your own or let God lead you. Are you here, somebody? You've got to be willing to navigate uncharted waters and terrain if you desire to make progress in your walk with God. Hallelujah. God told Abraham. Now look at this. Bible told us that Abraham was a heathen. Abraham had nothing. He knew nothing about God. So he was a fresh encounter, God revealing himself to Abraham, but he trusted a God that he had never known. Are you here, somebody? He trusted a God he had never had any encounter with. There was no story in the Bible that he had a prior encounter with God. Or aside from this, Abraham was a heathen, was a pagan, but God visited him. I guess that God saw in him somebody that was willing to take him at his word. Now, you will never find uncommon obedience until you find uncommon faith. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And that word there is rhema. Rhema means the living voice of God. What God is saying now. So Abraham heard God and he produced faith in him, and he demonstrated that faith by obeying God. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, something happens when you step out at the voice of God. You step into the supernatural. Many of you, the Goliaths in front of you is the voice of God that's going to bring them down. That's the technology that will bring it down. You enter places because God sent you there. Are you here, somebody? And those giants will fall before you. So you've got to develop spiritual sensitivity. It's a spiritual skill you've got to develop. Are you here, somebody? Because when God tells you to do something, his power will always back you up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're carrying visions and dreams in your heart, and God's telling you about many massive things. When you step out at the word of the Lord, the resources go ahead of you. The giants are already arranged to be defeated. There's something about the wisdom of God that when you step out on what God told you, the power of God goes to cause things to fall in place on your behalf. Are you here, somebody? So first of all, we see uncommon obedience. Uncommon obedience. Let obedience to the voice of God be your wisdom. Why do you have anointed ministries like Glory Zone? One of the greatest resources that you have are ministers of the gospel that are anointed, and when they speak, you see visions. The Bible said in Hosea chapter 12 verse 3 that God multiplies visions by the ministry of the prophets. Not that you fall into a trance and be shaking necessarily, but as the word of God is speaking, as the word of God is coming forth through his anointed messengers, you see things, you hear things. Faith comes to your heart and you go and dare things. Glory to the name of the Lord. You go and pull things out in places where men say everywhere is dried up. The voice of the Lord will open territory to you. The voice of the Lord will move you into terrain and cause you to plunder where men don't usually dare to go. So uncommon faith is produced, or uncommon obedience is produced by uncommon faith, and that is produced by listening to the voice of the Lord. So we see in Abraham's life somebody that listened to God and simply obeyed him. It makes you look like a genius. Listening to God and obeying him makes you look like a genius. Let me say one more time. Listening to God and obeying him makes him you look like a genius. We're here today because somebody has been listening to God. And greater days are ahead in Jesus' precious name. So you go listen to God wherever you are. Praise God forevermore. Second, we see uncommon believing. You see, these are things that are present with us. These are not things that we cannot do. But these are things we're empowered to do. Abraham walked in this blessing because of some of these things. We see uncommon believing in Genesis 15 verse 1. Abraham was saying that he had not got a physical child yet. The Bible said the Lord took him and showed him the stars. Said, this is how your seed is going to be. And Genesis 15 verse 16, the Bible said, and Abraham believed God. You see, it sounds like such a simple statement, but believing is a committal word. Abraham believed God. He believed the picture that God showed him. Praise God forevermore. Friends, nobody can do your believing for you. No matter how much you love your wife, you're married, or your husband, or your best friend, when they are pressed, you can't go to the bathroom for them. No matter how much you love them, nobody can do your believing for you. We can stand with you, we can agree with you, but when the rubber hits the road, honey, you got to believe God for yourself. But if you've been here in this ministry, you have enough resource to believe God. So go believe God. How's the money going to come? I believe God. How are we getting the nations? I believe God. God has shown you that picture. Believe God. Commit him. Are you here, somebody? Go and look at it. Whether in the old covenant or the new, believing is at the heart of our covenant. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God can bring you to the stream, bank of the stream, but he can't force you to drink. Somebody say tonight, I believe God. Somebody say, I believe God. And I believe that part of the blessings of this celebration is that it's not just a celebration for us, it's going to be an impartation for us. Are you here, somebody? It's going to be an impartation for us. Every word that's going to be declared as God's servants continue to speak God's word in this conference is going to be your portion. That is what you're going to enter in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you here, somebody? So this next year of ministry, get ready. All the Glory Zoners, get ready. Because God is going to do something this 11th year that's going to outclass everything he has done in the first 10 years. And it's going to show up in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to do money things. God is going to do property things. God is going to do franchise things. Many of you are going to move into nations with this anointing upon your life. And you're going to pick things out of nations in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I believe God. You see, this is simple. Amos 3 says, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I simply call believing God. Believing God is agreeing with God. Say, I agree. God said, you're blessed. Say, I agree. Believing God is how you transform your life. God says, some of you are going to touch money that you have never touched before. You say, I agree. This is how you enter these things. You see, Zion, in the house of God, there's a transaction that takes place when anointed words are going. Just like that, that's how you change level. You enter meetings and you leave the different way. You come one way and you leave another way. That's our technology. Are you here, somebody? So many of you are changing level tonight in the name of Jesus. Many of you are changing level tonight. You have the blessing of Abraham, but you're going to wear it like you've never worn it before. As this conference is going, you're going to see new visions. You're going to see new pictures. And the pictures you see, you believe. One time the Lord told me, I anoint the pictures of your heart. You see, the word of God does not give you a balloon dream. When the word of God is being taught, God will measure your destiny to you. You start seeing yourself in certain places. You start seeing yourself doing certain things. All God is looking for is, I believe. Let it be unto me according to thy word. Mary, teenager, 17-year-old, you're going to give birth to a baby and you're not going to have sexual relations with a man. How shall these things be? The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God will come upon you. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And that thing that is in you shall be called Christ. How can you call something that is in, that, something that, how can you call a human egg in a woman that is fertilized by the Holy Ghost? You can only call it a thing. And I tell you, many of you, after these services this weekend, you will give birth to things. You will give birth to things. You will give birth to things. Companies will fall in place. Nations will open to you. Things will start arranging themselves around about you. God will start tampering with natural things around about your life. And the supernatural will start producing natural things in your life. Because when you hear the word of God, you give birth to things. Things. Money things. Company things. Business things. Franchise things. That's how God pushes you into your destiny. That's how God pushes you into your destiny. Because these words you hear, anytime you hear anointed words, it's God's channel. It's God's channel connecting heaven and earth. God is bringing into your life what has already been arranged to you. So as you hear God's word, everyone hears differently. The Holy Ghost will measure your path and your destiny to you. Are you here, somebody? So some of you are going to walk into things. You're going to walk into things. As you go out, your steps are going to call those things to you. And you're going to see supernatural arrangements around your life. Because this man of God here, Dr. Karis, has things to do. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you here, somebody? And you've been connected to this ministry to help him. So the character of that anointing is going to rub off on you. The character of that anointing is rubbing off on you. Glory to the name of the Lord. Please be seated. Are you here, somebody? And Abraham believed God. And Dunkagonwok believed God. That's your greatest badge of honor. I believe God. How shall it be? I believe God. I believe God. And the proof of believing is action. Believing is an action word. Are you here, somebody? I say, are you here, somebody? How can you say you're going to the nations of the earth and you have no passport? I know that glory zone people, you don't go fall my hands. You have no business eating suya without a passport. In this day and age, you're going to buy shawarma. Keep that money and buy a passport. Listen, it is natural acts that provoke spiritual manifestations. You say you're going to the nations and you have no passport. Oh yeah, which nation are you going to? Do you know the visa requirements? Do you know what? How can you begin to put your faith to the line when you think this thing will just come on you like osmosis? Don't get born again and throw away your brain, please. Don't be brain dead in the house of God. You say you believe God. What are the steps you are taking? Let me not hear that any member of Glory Zone does not have an international passport. Say, Pastor, where am I going? You're going to the nations. How can your pastor have a global ministry
and you don't have international passport, common international passport you don't have, but you can eat suya, you can eat shawarma. Oya handele, say I believe God. And my actions from today will prove that I believe God. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Mike Murdoch said at one time, and I understand the sense in which he was talking. He said, how can you be saying that you're serious about becoming a financier of the gospel? You should have at least one financial book commensurate to every year you've been on earth. You've been on this earth 20 something years. How many financial books do you have? What are you studying? What are you reading? You say you believe God. How is this thing going to happen? By Eba? By eating Eba all night? What are you Googling? What are you reading? Who are you understudying? What pictures are you putting before you? You should be hanging around places where pictures are inoculating your heart. Inoculating your heart. I'm going to get there. Well, I'll stop at my time, but I'm going to get there. Listen, your picture is your future. And let me speak like my spiritual fathers. Any picture that you cannot see, listen, you cannot feature in it. Your picture is your future. You need to be hanging around pictures. Not Akara pictures. You need pictures. Follow your pastor now. You go and see pictures in his office. These things enter into you. They enter into you. Those pictures should be regulating your life. These things are spiritual transactions. When those pictures enter your life, some things will start changing around about you. You start becoming wise and prudent with your use of money. You invest in your future. I want to see your library. I want to see your... Look, you need apparatus. God is blessing you with money. You need gadgets. You guys know what I'm talking about now. You guys, I know you know what, you can preach it better than me. So it's criminal for some things not to be in your arsenal right now. Are you here, somebody? Please sit down. Glory to God. Say, I believe God. So we see that uncommon believing. Believe means to agree with the pictures that God shows you. That's what brings the supernatural. These things will start coming into your life. Number three, we see Abraham, uncommon generosity and hospitality. Covenant men are generous men. The word man, I'm using the word man, not in generics now. I'm talking about the species. Human beings. I'm not a male chauvinist. Or let me say covenant people in case you get angry with me. Covenant people are generous people. You notice in Genesis chapter 17, God visited Abraham and told him that he was going to become a physical father. And he was about 100. He fell down and began to laugh. I said, how can I father a child 100 years old? But that transaction went on and he began to arrange himself when he discovered that God was being very serious with him. And in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham had visitors. Hallelujah. Three angels came. And one of them was the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord's presence. And they came. And as soon as they came, what did Abraham do? Abraham said, you guys cannot leave this place. They did like they were going to pass. Abraham said, you guys can't leave this place. You must come in here, as the ancient tradition in Palestine was in those days, in that part of the world. Any visitor that comes, you bring physical water, wash their feet, refresh them, soothe them, and then settle them down. And he went and said, look, let me get you something to eat. He went and met his wife, Sarah. Go find the best, most tender kid in the flock. Prepare it for these people. He spent his time prepared. Abraham entertained these visitors. He had a culture of generosity and hospitality. And when he settled them, the word of the Lord in them came out. Me thinks something. That many times when you're on the verge of changing levels, God will test your hospitality. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1 that many times we should beware how we handle strangers because God sends angels unawares. Many times when God wants to move your level, he will say, can I trust this man? If I'm going to bring $1 million, is he going to be stingy with it? If I'm going to bring $1 billion, is he going to be stingy with it? Is he going to consume all on himself? He looked at Abraham. They did like they were passing when they sat down, but they had a message for Abraham. Abraham captured them with his hospitality. Some said, what does this have to do with breakthrough? Hey. Covenant people are generous and hospitable people. Are you here, somebody? Generosity and hospitality attracts angelic activity. Let me tell you something. Many people involved in your life are not human beings. Many times you have interacted with people who are not human beings and you don't know it. And many times when God wants to change your level, He will test your hospitality level. Angelic visitors come. And one of the easiest ways to trap angels is with hospitality. Are you here, somebody? It seems to me that prophecy is about to be fulfilled for somebody. I said prophecy is about to be fulfilled for somebody. Harvest is about to come into somebody's life. My brother, my sister, learn to be hospitable and generous, particularly to people who are in the household of faith. Are you here, somebody? Next, we see in Abraham's life, uncommon sacrifice. Covenant people are sacrificial people. God had promised Abraham a physical child. In Genesis 22, we see, we know the story very well. Genesis 22, how that God took, said, go and bring Abraham your son. Hi, God is amazing. Go and bring Abraham thy son, thy only son. So God knew the implication of that statement. Thy only son, whom thou lovest. Hi. He could not, that one could not hide. Your only son, whom you love, who you believed God for, the miracle child. Go and bring him. Praise the name of the Lord. Now God had told him in Genesis chapter 12 that he will bless him and make him great and all that. He reiterated that in Genesis 15, reiterated that in Genesis 17. But you know what? Those words were just hanging. Abraham was blessed materially and financially, but the real blessing didn't yet kick in. The real blessing didn't yet kick in. So when Abraham passed that test and brought his son, he was about, you know the story, when he was about to slay his son, the angel spoke out and said, don't worry, there's already a ram of sacrifice. Thank God for the revelation of provision and all of that. But I like it much later on, after all that has settled and Abraham saw that his son had been spared and he had passed the test, God now said, now I know. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just say it in contemporary language. Now I know I can trust you with this covenant. That the thing you have labored for, the thing that's most precious in your life, you're willing to trust me enough to give it back to me, now I give it back to you 1,000 times over. And he said, now, as I have said, in blessing, I will bless you. What about the one you said in Genesis 12? What about the one you said in Genesis 15? What about the one you said in Genesis 17? All these are activated on the altar of sacrifice. Listen. God will get anything to you if He knows He can get it through you. God can get anything to you if He knows He can get it through you. And water can never pass through a pipe and leave the pipe dry. Not possible. Are you here, somebody? So really, sacrifice is to prove whether God can really trust you. Because it's not the object that you're sacrificing. There's an invisible empowerment God wants to bring into your life to make you many times bigger than that in influence and affluence. Hallelujah. So you see that uncommon sacrifice. Abraham was a sacrificial man. He could trust God enough to release anything to God. You see, God is not a taker. He's a giver. But many times the magnitude of what He wants to bring into your life is so massive. God does not need dams. He needs channels. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're organizing the nations, you'll be sending people. It may start with buses in cities. Later on, it will start with jets chartered. The channels will just be flowing like that. Flowing like that. If you have a 6-centimeter diameter pipe, all you can get is six centimeters diameter width of water. If God tries to pass 10 centimeters water that can go into a 10 centimeter pipe diameter, it will bust the 6 diameter. So enlarge. So enlarge. I said, so enlarge. Don't boast about what you can receive, boast about what you can give. Because there's a measure of things that are still coming. I'm talking about walking the blessing of Abraham. So we'll not just be singing Abraham's blessings are mine, but how we can see it manifesting. Are you here, somebody? Next, uncommon leadership. Uncommon leadership. What do I mean by that? Oh, dear Lord. There's something about leadership I want to bring out here. You cannot be massive without having massive people run about you. Are you here, somebody? You can't be great if you are intimidated by other people's greatness. You've got to be comfortable with having large people round about you. Are you here, somebody? Because the blessing of God, no, they finish. And somebody's success cannot even scratch the surface of yours. Like we always know, when you look into the sky, you see eagles, you see birds flying. And they're just playing around. And the place just looks so sparse. You just see one lone bird somewhere. But look on the ground. You hear noise. Everybody's struggling for corn or maize or rice. Can I advise you? Leave the company of chickens. Leave that place where men are struggling. Go to the heights. Be large. Help me tell you, they say, neighbor, leave the place of chickens. Leave the chicken life. It's chickens. Chicken pastors. You don't take my church member. Chicken entrepreneurs. He's going to his restaurant. He's not going to mine. Do you know how many people are in the city of Jos? Pastor Karis can tell you because he's a man of statistics. We have not touched the sinners in Jos. You know how many people are not coming to church in Jos? So you see that one? You don't go, man. He's stealing my church member. See this one. Don't be a chicken entrepreneur. Focus on excellence and focus on satisfying your customers. There are too many. Say, Mama Bomboy took my Mama Bomboy took my son. You see, that Mama Bomboy said, that's why they're not coming to the restaurant. It's a Mama Bomboyish. Look at this. Abraham knew that it was his anointing that grew Lot. But he was happy to have his nephew grow under him. Even when that guy had bad behavior. Very happy if you Lot had bad behavior. You don't know a mate. It was the anointing on Abraham's life that grew Lot. But yet Abraham was so magnanimous. When Lot and Abraham's herdsmen were fighting, do you think Lot didn't know?
He knew now. Hey, let's say I leave that uncle Joe. I beg. I'm a big boy too now.
He knew, but he didn't caution them. So Abraham said, don't worry, we're not going to fight. You see, the big man is the man of love. The big man is the one that can let people grow under him and yet not be intimidated. Even when they misbehave. Because he knows that misbehavior cannot take away greatness. I'm telling you, the blessing of Abraham today is not your head in the clouds. Oh, this is what makes great people. So I said, no, Lot, we're not going to fight. Can you imagine? Idiot Lot. Oh, he called Lot and calmed him down. Lot, we're not going to fight. The land is big. You choose. And just to know that Lot no get sense. He said he went and chose the big one. He still chose. Abraham said, no, wala. But let me tell you something. After that happened, the father of faith fell into depression. How do you know that he fell into depression? Because God told him, Abraham, lift up your eyes. You don't lift up your eyes if your eyes were not cast down. So, Kai, after he left, Kai, Lot. Oh, do me. Kai, Lot. He paid me. Go, Kai. After that, I'm sure Satan started talking to him. Look at this idiot boy. Is this how life is? Aye, oh, life. You're good to men, they hurt you back. Oh, life. So, our father Abraham entered chicken life small. They go, say, Abraham, get out of this depression. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look to the north, look to the south, look to the west, let's leave. All this place, including where Lot is, I've given to you. Now, my point is simple here. My point is simple. Abraham was a big person. Be big. I understand now, I'm sure some of you guys will know better than me now about that. But I understand, I know that last I knew that, what's his name? What's this guy's name? Bill Gates is no longer the CEO of Microsoft. I think he's still the major shareholder, but he's not the CEO. But there was a time when you were CEO. When they go, they leave America and they go to some of these islands or something to meet. Bill Gates will park his aircraft. Then all the heads of his divisions will park their own aircraft. That's big. You're not intimidated. Namibioga, look at my seat there. You don't should be plastic seat. You see, that's African. It's not covenant mentality. Covenant mentality. Your greatness is proven by how big people around you are. Ah, I know be witch. I cannot be a pastor driving Range Rover and for 10 years people are listening to me and it's Keke Napep they're driving. I know be witch. My big is demonstrated by the big of people round about. People around me must thrive. Otherwise, and I winch I be.
Are you here, somebody? I say, are you here, somebody? Say, uncommon leadership. Leadership that allows things to grow under you. Can you let things grow under you? Can things grow under you? Huh?
People are growing. People are doing well. People are flexing in the areas of endeavor. Then you just see that thing coming. You just see that ugly devil coming. Are you here, somebody? Yellow. Jealousy. Envy. That is small. That is small. But let me tell you, there's one easy way to deal with jealousy. Just say, oh God, I am jealous. Now, let me tell you. Let me tell you. For real. For real. Let me tell you. For real. I'm not kidding. Satan is darkness. When you introduce light, darkness flees. So the moment you admit and say, Lord, this thing is jealousy, I'm battling it, help me. As soon as you cast light on it, jealousy will take flight.
Are you here, somebody?
Listen, when you start becoming big, others around you will start rising. Look, let people thrive round about you. Don't, this is like, what? Look at this boy. Eh? Look at this girl. I'll cut her down to size. Now you they cut down to size. Because they're going to grow anyway. Let things grow round about you.
Listen to me. He's part of the blessing of Abraham.
We're tracking Abraham and we're looking at character traits in Abraham's life that allowed that blessing to flex.
Please sit. Praise the name of the Lord.
Not only do we see uncommon leadership with Abraham, we see uncommon love and forgiveness. I've already mentioned that. When he heard that his son, his nephew had been captured, Abraham forgot anything that Lot ever did to him. He said, this is my flesh and blood. No heathen has a right to capture my flesh and blood. Abraham marshaled the 318 servants that had been trained in his house. And God supernaturally gave him a victory. If you study that account, you know that it's nothing but supernatural. Five kings with warriors and mercenaries. Thousands of trained warriors and mercenaries. Abraham, 318 servants. Why did the Bible say trained in his house? Because he trained them in the path of covenant. He trained them in covenant technology. He trained them to believe God, to trust that blood covenant. Are you here, somebody? And they got a major victory and he got Lot out. So uncommon love and forgiveness. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you here, somebody? You don't allow things to get into your spirit, especially when it has to do with the brethren. Listen, when we fellowship with each other, there's no way you fellowship with each other without sparks flying. All of us are not yet come into perfection. Our minds are still being renewed. Are you here, somebody? So you never allow grudges to enter inside your heart, especially with the brethren. Are you here, somebody? Find no fault with your brethren. Uncommon love and forgiveness. Then we had mentioned earlier, uncommon vision. Hallelujah. Abraham was a man of big pictures. Oh, I pray for you in the name of Jesus that the pictures of your heart will enlarge. That the pictures of your heart will enlarge. People that are going somewhere don't have time for pettiness. Oh, people that are going somewhere rejoice when they see their brethren moving forward. Oh, glory to God. Another plus for the kingdom of God. Oh my God, we're spreading. Are you here, somebody? Are you here, somebody? Listen, when you keep rejoicing at your brethren's progress, you will constantly have cause for rejoicing in your own life. See, uncommon vision, uncommon vision. God said, lift up your eyes after Lot was gone and look north, south, west, and east, all the land that you see. I'd mentioned it earlier. Abraham was a man of pictures, pictures, pictures. He said, as far as your eye can see, as far as your eye can see.
Glory to God forevermore.
And I tell you the truth, the Bible said, that is what God will commit to you, as far as your eyes can see. And I'm not just talking about something that happens to you when you overdose on your favorite meal. I'm talking about something that happens when you fellowship with God's word. Praise the name of the Lord. It's one of the greatest investments of your life. You must invest in your inner picture. Nobody can stop you if you see where you're going. Everything, the supernatural will force the natural to cooperate with you. So let people mistreat you, let them misread you, whatever. Keep your eye focused on the future that you see. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know that's what has brought our dear pastor this far, and that's what will take you wherever you are going. Praise the name of the Lord. Friends, just like birds don't collide in the sky, there's enough space for all of God's covenant children. And all of us are flexing in Jesus' name. I say all of us are flexing in Jesus' name. So invest in your future. You tame or govern life from the picture that you see. The ministry of God's word is to put pictures in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed into that very same image. The very same image we see. We see something. When we fellowship with God's word, we have a mission. We have a mission in listening to God's word. We have a mission in being in anointed meetings. We have a mission. Our mission is that we want God to treat our picture. If he cannot treat your picture, he can't treat your pocket. If he can't treat the picture you see, he cannot treat anything in your destiny. It's the thing you fight to maintain is your picture. Forget about whether or not they respect you or give you a chair or don't give you a chair. Forget about that. Guard your picture. That's what God anoints. If you not allow anybody to mess up with your picture, praise the name of the Lord, you will soon feature in that picture. Are you here, somebody? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lastly, but not the least, I'm sure you can pull out many other things, but that's the last I have for tonight. Abraham was a man of uncommon honor for God. And the honor he showed God was in tithing and giving. Glory to God forevermore. Abraham was a tither. Tithing goes beyond the law. Hallelujah. It's a mark and a demonstration that God is your life and that God is your source. And that God is nothing. I mean, you are nothing, I beg your pardon, without God. A tither is constantly demonstrating to God that God is their shield, God is their total supply, God is their help, and God is the reason why they're anything in this life. And Abraham demonstrated that after that great victory. The Bible tells us that story that Melchizedek came, the king of Salem, and Abraham took tithes of all. When Melchizedek brought bread and wine, and he exchanged or brought gifts, and he brought the tithe, the tenth of all. He instituted that principle. The thing is not really about the number 10, but it's a covenant practice. The tithe is the blessing connector. Are you here, somebody? Listen, there's something about the tithe that causes you to be mysteriously preserved. There's something about the tithe that just causes a force field of God's preservation around about your life. And preservation is a big word. It's not just, it has to do with protection. It has to do with every aspect of your finances. Listen, trace the life of a tither. Are you here, somebody? He or she becomes supernaturally slippery. Tithers don't die anyhow. Something always falls in the, look, the tither always wiggles out of situations. It's the hand of God's blessing upon your life. Is God's breath upon your life. Is your covenant connector. You do that and worship God. Say, God, you're my source. Without you, I'm nothing. Then you rejoice and you manifest and you celebrate God. And anything that comes into your hand, because money is one of the major things that we transact in these days, you make sure the first goes to God. I don't care if it's 1 naira, let it be your tithe. The force of God's blessing comes upon you. And before you know what's happening, the blessing and the rain comes upon your field. God preserves your field, the area of your labor. Then he gives you seed to sow in your field. And when you sow your seed, your labor, your investment, and everything, God supernaturally protects them. God supernaturally guides you and leads you. One of your greatest spiritual strategies for success is to be a tither. Are you here, somebody? God was honored in Abraham's life. And he used him to institute that great principle. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's signature is upon the life of a tither. Now, I've just brought up some of these few points because the Bible said, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah that bear you. He said, I called him alone and I blessed him. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. The next time we hear about you, many of you listening to me, I say from my heart, will be at least 10 times your present size. Some of you here will be at least 100 times your present size. But this evening, the Lord has put the thousandfold increase anointing blessing upon my heart. Oh, I just know that glory zone is scaling unusual heights, escalating to unusual places. As there's something burning my heart about the thousandfold increase anointing. This year, one time I was meditating on that. I said, Lord, I know there's something about the thousandfold. What is it? You've been telling me. And the Lord said, it can mean many things to many people, but this is how Lord gave it to me. He said, that thousandfold increase anointing is an anointing for unstoppable progress. He said that anointing is an anointing that will cause you to look. You will go to a place that men call dry and you will turn it into a watered garden. You will go to a desert and a city will spring from the desert. He said that is the anointing for unlimited growth and increase. No boundaries anymore. No boundaries. Whatever you're doing, wherever you go, no boundaries. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. I say this with all sense of responsibility. There are three anointings I see tonight in this house. Some of you, as a result of your fellowship, by the time this conference is over, this 10th year celebration, because I agree with the man of God that spoke earlier, Pastor Charles, I believe, Jubunom. Every decade is a major milestone. And what I kept hearing in my heart is that God is going to do things in this 11th year that will make all he has done in the 10th year look like nothing. Amen. You will step into that anointing, sir. Amen. Dr. Karis, your precious wife, and all those that are hooked up in your company. Because as God's word comes, visions and dreams and instructions will come to you. And some of you, you will just stretch and take that instruction. Some of you will drop in 10 times more. Some of you, one step will represent 100 times more. And there are certain of you here, I lie not in Christ Jesus, that in this next year, one step you take will be 1,000 times more. And things will collapse into your hands. Systems will collapse into your hands. Things will drop into your hands because you're working with supernatural strategies. I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm talking about the supernatural. Father, we thank you. Lift up your hands and thank him tonight. Thank him tonight. He said, I called him alone and I blessed him. And that blessing I put on him, that was what made Abraham look spectacular. There was nothing spectacular about Abraham, but something came on him as a result of that covenant. Praise the name of the Lord. And we see Abraham's conduct. He conducted himself in the blessing in a way that made it spread. That blessing instructed him. All these things we're mentioning is the blessing that instructed Abraham. It wasn't just normal sense. The blessing gave him covenant sense and produced these things in him. And the blessing kept spreading, subduing, and taking territories. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Dr. Karis, every picture God has ever shown you, it's time for you to enter it. Every picture God has ever shown you, it's time for you to enter it. Every picture God has ever shown you, it's time for you to enter it. I hear my spirit. Those pictures will no longer be pictures, but will become living realities you walk in, you explore and exercise yourself in. Father, I thank you. And all that are part of this great house and this company, and all of us that have come to rejoice with you, praise the name of the Lord, we'll take our part and we'll take our portion. Glory to the name of the Lord. Congratulations, Glory Zone. Congratulations, Glory Zone. Congratulations, Glory Zone. You're moving forward. You're increasing. You're running without hindrance in the name of Jesus. You're taking surer and surer steps in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, before I came up here, I just sensed in my heart, praise the name of the Lord, There may be some here that are battling with a heart condition. I just sense that in my heart. Praise the name of the Lord. As the word of God is going forth, that heart condition is healed. Listen to me. You're not going to enter this next year feeble in any way. I curse that foul devil of darkness. That foul spirit of infirmity. Of the mind, of the body, and of the flesh. I command you to loose your hold over God's people. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you're going to enter this new season with a new strength. The Lord renews your youth like he renews the youth of an eagle. It does not matter what the past experience has been. Something fresh has come upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you're going to walk in this new season with a healthy body, a sound mind, a vigorous body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything around you is coming into alignment. Everything around you is falling into place. You're going to step out of this weekend a brand new person into a brand new season. And you're going to run like never before. You're going to soar like never before. You're going to be renewed like never before. Whatever you have lost, you will find in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever has slipped from your hands will come back many times bigger in the name of Jesus. I hear in my heart some people, somebody say, oh, pastor, you don't know the opportunities I've lost. Are you kidding me? It's coming back bigger. It's coming back bigger. It's coming back better. And when all is said and done, you will have cause to say, truly, I have lost nothing. Oh, glory to God forevermore. It's upon you in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout and magnify the name of the Lord. Somebody shout and give the Lord some glory. Glory, 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 glory.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.